within you. Oh, I desire for you to be consumed with my word. For my word is sweet as honey. My word is like milk that'll help you grow. My word is the best news you've ever heard. So take heed to my word. Put it in your hearts. Live it in your life. For by my word, you are made right. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats. Hallelujah. I want to let the men know this Saturday we're going to have our Barnabas group, 8:30 a.m. right here. Great for you to join us, fellowship with men, partake of what God is doing. Amen. And you know what? I appreciate your sacrifices. You guys, you're here tonight. You're eager for the word. And I'm grateful. And don't forget, if you like to sow or give or invest in the kingdom of God, you can do so anytime during the service. We have our container in the back there. And as we give our offerings here, God receives them there. Amen. Well, you ready for the word tonight? I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. As I was praying and just kind of meditating on what the Lord wanted to do tonight, I felt like he wanted to reveal to us how he works within. You know, when God moves, it's always inside out. Never outside in. Because his word is an incorruptible seed. And as it, like every seed, it gets planted. And you can't see a seed working, but it's working. And then it takes effect outwardly. And in Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 15, it says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I want you to mark those two phrases. Faith in the Lord and love unto all the saints. All right? He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto who? You. He wants to give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him, so that your eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his what? To who? Did you know that God's got exceeding great power for you? Okay? His power is here. All right? His power to usward, who what? Who believe? according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Let's go to chapter 3. All right, chapter 3. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 3. And let's go to verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that who might be filled? You might be filled with what? All the fullness of God. Let me ask yourselves, how much can you handle tonight? How much can you receive tonight? Amen. If you want all, you can have it. If you just want some, you can get some. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? Did you know that there is a power working in you right now? It's at work, okay? Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus, by Christ Jesus, throughout all the ages for the world to come. Now, what is God's power working in you to do? He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you revelation. He wants you to know God. He wants you to gain understanding. He wants you to get enlightened. He wants to turn your light on. He wants you to understand the wonderful future that he has promised for you. And then finally, he wants you to receive the rich and glorious inheritance that he's given. Now that gets me really excited. All right? Now go over to 2 Timothy for just a minute. We're going to talk about this power that is working within us. All right? The work of God within. There is a work that God wants to do within you. But you need to do some things to connect to that power that wants to work. The power is available. Okay? It's available to those who believe. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers day and night. Listen, if you were in Paul's memory, he had a passion for you to pray for you. Right? But here's where I want to get to. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, or genuine faith, that is in you. He's talking to Timothy. He's talking to his son in the faith. He's talking to a fellow laborer in the gospel, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Did you know that faith can be passed from one generation to the next? Amen? Greatest heritage you could leave your family is a heritage of faith. Teach your family how to live by faith. Okay? This young minister named Timothy had a grandmother and a mother who knew how to get a hold of God, and they showed him how to do it too. Verse 6. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance. I'm putting you in remembrance tonight that you stir up the gift of God, which is where? In you, by the putting on of my hands. Often, God will get a divine impartation to someone through the laying on of hands, but I want to tell you tonight, sometimes we got to stir ourselves up. You know, sometimes we become like charcoal that hasn't had a fresh brush of air for a while, and it starts to diminish in heat. It starts to, but when you blow on it, what happens when you blow on charcoal? Huh? The gray turns red, right? And the red generates heat. And listen, we got to stir ourselves up sometimes. There was a time when David was fighting a battle and his home was in Ziklag. And after the men, David and his mighty men, they fought the battle and they defeated the enemy. They came back to Ziklag only to find out that it had been burned with fire and the women and children were taken away. Now, David's men, they reacted out of the flesh and they wanted to stone David. They wanted to take out their feelings on their leader. And David didn't have anyone to encourage him. So you know what he did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Are you at a place where if you're facing tough times, can you encourage yourself in the Lord? Or do you need to be bottle-fed encouragement? Well, just like David encouraged himself in the Lord, and just like Paul was encouraging Timothy to stir up. There's a gift within you. There's an ability within you. There's a power within you. But sometimes it needs to be stirred up. You know, a hornet's nest is pretty calm until it gets bumped. Right? Then the hornets get all stirred up, or the bees get all stirred up, right? And they start coming out in droves. Why? Because something stirred up the nest. I want to stir up your nest tonight. I want to stir up your heart tonight. I want there to be a fire lit within you. And I want that fire to keep increasing, to push you down the track of the right path. So there's a power at work. There's an energy that's operating. And God wants to activate His wisdom. And this power was evidenced in the greatest display up to this point, that was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells where? In you. He said that He will quicken your mortal body. What does it mean to quicken? Make alive, right? If you're here tonight, you are not a dead saint. Because if you came in here dead, you're going to leave living. Amen? If you came in here full of dead works, we're going to throw those dead works into the fire and watch them burn. Amen? And we're going to experience the resurrection power, and we're going to stir ourselves up tonight. We're going to get excited about Jesus. Now, last year, I saw our young people at a meeting at Refreshing Mountain running the hallways like crazy people. It's time to stir that up again, young people. Don't be sitting there like a frog on the log. You need to get engaged in what God is doing. Right? God wants to move, but He will not move you. You got to choose to let Him move. It's like going swimming on a hot day. You know? Some people, they want to test the water. They don't want to get in the water if the temperature's not right. Right? And then other people, they just throw caution to the wind and they just jump in. The only way that you can enjoy the water is if you get in. God won't put you in. God won't make you get in. You got to choose to come in. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit does not speak in tongues for you. You do the speaking, but He gives you the words. But He will not do the speaking for you. You've got to open up your mouth. You've got to move your mouth and your tongue, and you've got to form the words that your mind doesn't understand. That's a supernatural. It's a gift. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, God needs your participation tonight. Many Christians are like a lamp unplugged. The bulb is good. The cord is good. But they're unconnected to the power. Many Christians, through life, have let their embers grow cold. You know, you can't cook anything on cold coals. You can't warm yourself next to a fire that went out. A locomotive cannot go down the tracks unless there's something inside the engine to make it go and produce steam. We don't run our cars on E, but how come people think they can run their Christian life on E? Guess what? When it reaches E, you better go somewhere and get filled up. How many know your car doesn't fill itself up? Right? You got to take it. You got to go. You got to put your money in. And you got to put the fuel in. Right? Tonight we're putting the fuel in. Okay? Now God's power worked in Christ to do two things. It raised him up and it seated him in the highest place next to God. All right? Now, God's power is here. Okay? Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus is now sitting at God's right hand in heavenly places. Let me just prove that to you. And guess what? He wants us to sit with him. He has saved you a seat next to him. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us sit together with him. He wants to share his victory with you. He wants to share his joy with you. He wants to heal you. Okay? So we connect to this power through the faith in the Lord Jesus, through our love for all the saints. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you. Look at yourself and say, I love me. See, you know how many people in the days when Jesus walked the earth, they just let the power walk on by and they never connected to it? They never tapped into it? It just walked by, right by them, right in front of them. Okay? How many want to connect tonight? You want to connect to God's power tonight. Because the only way that it's going to work is you've got to make a connection. And I guarantee you, doing nothing, you get nothing. You've got to do something tonight. Okay? And when we do what we need to do tonight, we will feel the effects of his power. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. And we're going to see how two people connected to God's power. They did something that no others did to tap into the power that was available to them. We have life-giving power, resurrection power, strengthening power. I'm telling you, there's power for whatever you need tonight. There is healing power here tonight. There is restoration power here tonight. There is a lifting power tonight. If you've been stuck in the mud, God will lift you out of the mud. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. I want you to notice, much people gathered unto him. Okay? I'm going to stop right there because I got to tell you something. Do you know why much people were gathered unto him now? Because prior to that, he went over there before and he encountered a man who was possessed with devils, who would live out in the tombs, who would cut himself, and who would scream, and who would run around naked, hair matted, and they couldn't keep him down. But Jesus walked onto these very shores, and that demon-possessed man, the first thing he did was he ran to Jesus and worshiped him. And Jesus, long story short, he cast the devils out, and when his disciples got back, that man was clothed and in his right mind. And he wanted to go with Jesus because Jesus changed his life and he wanted to follow him. But Jesus said, no, you need to go and tell the people what I've done for you. Okay? Now, this man went to this area. He lived in this area where Jairus is from. And he was telling people the good things that God did for him. He was proclaiming what God did for him. And hearts were being stirred up. This is why there's a crowd to Jesus now. You can read the story before. Don't have time to go into it tonight. Okay, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one. Everybody say, there cometh one. Notice the one didn't sit at home. The one didn't sit. He came. All right? He made his way to Jesus, okay? Jesus had just gotten there, and this guy made his way to Jesus. Jairus by name, he was one of the rulers of the synagogue, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Second thing he did, he began to worship. Not only did he come, but he worshiped, okay? This is not a sideliner. This is a participant. This is what you got to do to connect to the power of God. Jesus has the power. The Bible has the power. The Holy Ghost has the power, but he just needs you to connect with him. He just needs you to... You got to think of faith like a drawbridge. Okay? God gave me this illustration this afternoon. All right? Now, I'm here. The power of God is there. But in between, there's a drawbridge. And I can't get over the drawbridge because it's too high. But what happens is my faith lowers the drawbridge. All right? And once the drawbridge is lowered, I can connect to the power. All right? So, did you know that everybody here has faith? God has given to every one of us the measure of faith. Say, I have a measure of faith. Now, what you do with that measure that you've been given will determine what God will do with his power. Jairus came, and he fell at his feet. Now, rulers of the synagogue did not do that. But Jairus didn't care. Okay? Because what Jairus needed was he needed some power. And he knew that he had to connect to the power. I mean, Jesus was just minding his own business. Jesus didn't say, I'm having a meeting. As soon as Jesus arrived, there was much people gathered unto him, and he was near the sea. He'd just gotten off the boat. He didn't even have time to eat lunch or dinner. Number three, verse 23, number, third thing he did, he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Number four, I pray. He prayed. He's done four things already to connect to the power that's available. And guess what? The power of Jesus, it's available to anybody who will connect to it. He is not discriminatory. Is that the word? Jesus, he doesn't discriminate. Anybody who has faith can tap into the power that's available. Resurrection power, life-giving power, creative power, saving power, delivering power, breaking chain power. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and what? Notice this last phrase. And what? Let's say those words. She shall live. One more time. She shall live. You want to make a statement? Shall is the most powerful word in the English language to mean it cannot go any other way. He came to him. He besought him greatly. He said something. He prayed. He laid out his case. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. And look at verse 24. And Jesus went with him. Did you know that it is impossible to please God without faith? So Jesus must have been pleased by his faith. The things that Jairus did must have been pleasing to God for him to go with him, right? Say, the anointed one went with him. Say, the anointing went with him. Say, the power went with him. See, you've got to understand, Jesus just got off the boat, and here comes Jairus. Sometimes you've got to have the attitude, I'm going to get what I need to get, and I don't care about anything else. You've got to have some boldness to step out and receive what God is offering. You've got to have some humility to humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he may exalt you in due time. I'm trying to teach on Wednesdays, but I'm telling you, there's a preach here tonight. Jesus went with him. He tapped into the power. Now the power was going with him. He was taking the power home. He was taking the power to his need. He was taking the power so it could do what it needed to do. And much people followed him and thronged him. Everybody say, much people. Out of that much people, there's only a minority in faith. You know, they're touching Jesus. But they're touching him in vain. If you touch Jesus and nothing's happening, then their problem is with you. Not Jesus. Jesus never has any power shortage. It's always the connection to the power that has the problem. Because Jesus told his disciples, he said, I have all authority in heaven and earth. Before he left this earth, he said, I have all authority. Now go. So he's got the power. Now, you got these people. They're following Jesus, who's going with Jairus, and they're making his way to his house. They're walking, and they're talking maybe. I don't know what they're saying. The Bible doesn't tell us. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for how long? 12 years. She had a problem in her body. She was hemorrhaging. She was bleeding. And how many know when you bleed, you become weak? When you bleed, it's hard to get your strength to do what you got to do, right? How many's ever given blood? You feel a little bit weak after you give blood, right? Until your body replenishes the blood. Thank God that God's given us a body that we can replenish blood. For 12 years, she was not connected to the power. For 12 years, she didn't have the information she needed to access the power. She tried everything she knew. She spent money on doctors. The Bible says, let's just stick with what the Bible said. She had suffered many things of many physicians. Poking, prodding, taking of the blood, taking of the blood pressure. Suffered many things of many physicians. See, when you don't know how to access the power, you suffer greatly. Spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Not only is she sick, now she's broke. All that time wasted, 12 years. Don't know how much money she spent, but she obviously saw a lot of specialists. She got a second, third, fourth, and fifth opinion. But she did not know how to access the power. But yes, say, my situation's about to change. God is opening an access point for you where tonight you can access his power right now. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. Right now. Now faith is. Everybody say, now faith is. One more time. Now faith is. Look at verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, she now had the access point that she needed. One message changed her life. She heard of Jesus. She heard the truth. She heard how he healed people. She heard how he delivered people. She heard reports of Jesus. She heard the word about Jesus. She heard the word about healing. Can one message change your life? Can one word change your life? Do you realize God created the world but when he said, light be? Two words. Two words caused the sun to shine. Now, if God can make the sun for shine for two words, what can he do with you for a word? Say, it's about to get hot in here. Oh, say, I'm going to connect to God's power. Say, I'm not missing my opportunity. See, I came out on a Wednesday night, and I'm going to get something. I'm not leaving here with nothing. And I don't care if it's good or bad English. I don't care. When she heard of Jesus, she, what was that word? When she heard of Jesus, what's the word? came. Is that movement? She could have been sitting at home doing nothing and missing the power and still suffering, still broke. But she, what she heard caused her to do. What she heard caused her to do. What she heard drew her in. What she heard activated something within her where she did not care where he was or how she felt. She was going to make her way to what she heard. She came in the press behind. First of all, she shouldn't have even been out in public. The law said, if you're having an issue like that, you don't go out in public. But if the law is preventing you from getting healed, bypass the law. She came behind. In the press. In the crowd. You think it was easy to navigate through the crowd? She was in a weakened state. She had lost countless pints of blood over 12 years. But yet she came. In spite of what she felt, she came. And touched his garment. For she said, she came, she heard, she said, if I may touch his clothes, what's the next phrase? I shall be whole. Listen, when you declare your faith, don't make any room for doubt. Make your faith statement as bold and as positive as you can make it. Jairus said, my daughter shall be healed. The woman said, I shall be whole. She knew that she was all in. No holds barred. Unrestricted access. She was not going to let the power pass her by. Neither should you. And straightway, immediately, one touch of the garment, straightway, immediately, that blood, that flow of blood dried up in her body. It stopped completely. It was totally turned around. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She, whoa, that feels good. She did a little James Brown. Whoa, I feel good. Da, na, 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 na. Like the way I should. So good. So fine. I'm getting what's mine. Notice she was healed of that plague. She didn't do nothing. She did something. She did a lot of things. She came. She said. She heard. She did. She touched. Action, action, action. Be doers of the word. Take action with what you hear. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out, power had gone out. You mean to tell me that all the people touching him weren't touching him in faith? Yes. Only one woman and one man acted on faith to Jesus. Jairus and this woman. Out of the whole crowd, two people are in faith. And he turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Isn't it interesting how he knew that she touched it? Sometimes when you touch someone's clothes, you may not necessarily know it. But you know what? There's power in his clothes. There's power in his hands. There's power in his words. There's power in his eyes. There's power in his hair. There's power all over him. He's the epitome of the power of God. He is the Word made flesh. And there's power wherever he goes. There's power in whatever he does. But you got to know how to tap into it. You got to know how to access it. You got to know how to receive it. You got to come and get it. It gets better. His disciples said unto him, verse 31, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched my clothes? There's a lot of people touching his clothes. But yeah, this touch was different. He looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. She wasn't afraid. Listen, when God does something, tell it. Celebrate it. Praise him for it. And he said unto her, daughter, my power has made you whole. Is that what he said? What did he say? Let's say that together. Say, daughter, your faith has made you whole. He credited her faith for making her whole. Not his power, not his divinity, not his wisdom, but her faith. Her faith caused the drawbridge to go down. She crossed over and connected to the power. Go in peace. And notice this phrase, be whole of that plague. He's telling her to walk in health. Be whole of it. Be whole. Your faith healed you. Now walk in the health of it. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Say, God wants me to be in health. In other words, God wants you to walk in health. God wants you to live in health. It's a covenant privilege for king's kids. Are you a king's kid? But then, what about Jairus? This woman interrupted the whole flow. They're almost to Jairus' house. And one of his servants said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. Look at verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what? Can you believe for the best in spite of bad news? What are you going to choose more? What you originally said to Jesus or what's happening now? What you originally said to Jesus. What was his original statement? Lay your hands on her, my daughter shall be healed. Lay your hands on her, my daughter shall be healed. Once Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will make you do nothing. And if you're operating by fear, you will do nothing and therefore you will get nothing. Fear keeps you disconnected from the power. So, Jesus went to the house, and they had some mourners there. They were all crying and weeping and wailing and carrying on. People were passing out Kleenexes and blowing their nose. And Jesus walks in with Jairus and said, the daughter's not dead, but asleep. They mocked him. They thought he was a joke. So he put him out. He takes Peter, James, and John, and Jairus, and his wife. Fivefold ministry. And what does he do? He does exactly what Jairus said. He laid his hands on her. And he said, Talithai kumai, which means daughter, arise. And she was raised from the dead just like Jairus said. Who set the terms of this miracle? Jairus did. Because Jesus did what Jairus said because Jesus agreed with him. Because he came and did something. He came and worshiped him. He drew near to him. He fell down before him. He called on him. Did a lot of things because he connected to the power. Verse 42. Straightway the damsel arose and walked. She was 12 years old. A year younger than Gabriel. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Except for Jairus. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. And commanded that something should be given her to eat. Hey, she's well. Let's have some dinner. But two people connected to the resurrection power, and that resurrection power is still operating today. And anyone who believes and anyone who loves can access that power anytime, any place, anywhere. You don't have to be in a church service. Jesus was by the shore. And then they were walking to where he lived. I don't know if he lived in the country or I don't know if he lived in the city. So you can access God's power anywhere by faith. And your faith works by love. If your faith isn't working, check your love. If you're treating people right. See if you love God first. See if you're putting him first. Amen? If God's not first in your life, every other love in your life will be messed up. But Jairus and the woman, they demonstrated their love for God. Because they took risks to come to him and do what they did. Now you're here tonight. You've come to this place. You've heard the word of the Lord. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do to get what you need? Are you going to let your feelings stop you? Are you going to let the opinions of others stop you? Are you going to let the big bully fear stop you, who's already been defeated? Because big brother Jesus is right here. And he's telling you, be of good cheer. Don't fear. Well, I know that some of you came here tonight with some things. You need God to move. His power is here. But it's for those that go after it. You got to have aggressive faith. Amen? Violent faith. But the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. Which means, don't let Jesus pass you by tonight without coming to get what you need. Whatever you need him to do, he'll do for you. If what you need to do is in his word, he'll do it for you. All he needs you to do is believe. All he needs you to do is plug in with your whole heart, with your whole being. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe you need freedom. Maybe you need to be free from stress. It doesn't matter what it is. God is here. I know God is here. He's wanting to do something in every one of you tonight. And you just need to come. Come to Jesus. You need to come and drink. You need to come and praise.